Please join me in prayer. Reveal to us your word, O God, living and active in our world, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let your word pierce our hearts and open our minds, dividing good from evil, truth from falsehood, life from death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is in Psalms. It's chapter 62, verses 5 through 8. If you'd like to join me, it's on page 898 of your pew Bible. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. That's good news. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen now for the word of the Lord. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother. The rich man said, all these I have kept since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious and loving God, you have given each of us gifts to share. Help us to share them. Help us to understand how we are to use them. May the words that come out of my mouth be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today we are looking at the phrase, God helps them, helps those who help themselves. And although this phrase originated much earlier, it was the Poor Richard's Almanac, published by founding father Ben Franklin. Who popularized and solidified its place in our minds. This phrase was so well known that according to a study Adam Hamilton quotes in the book, 8 out of 10 people believe this phrase is actually in the Bible. It is in fact not in the Bible. And it makes sense that Benjamin Franklin would bring this quote to the forefront, considering his background, because he was raised by Puritans. And Puritans are a practice of faith where they preached industry, education, frugalness, temperance. It was an austere, buttoned-down way of life focused on avoiding idleness and distraction. That was their whole focus. You better stay busy. Idle hands are the devil's playground, right? And they believed it was their duty, chosen people, to always be productive, never not be productive. If they weren't productive at some point in their life, they were wasting God's gifts, God's time. And this applied to a wide swath of things in their life. Sports, as far as they were concerned, was a waste of time. Right? Art. These kinds of things were not helpful. They needed to be productive. And so it's not a surprise that when you start to learn about these Puritans, you learn that they were the ones who created what we kind of now know as the Protestant work ethic, who created American capitalism. Drive, 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 make more money, make more money. That was their whole modus operandi. It's how they operated. Move forward. And so Ben Franklin, being raised by Puritans, was like, don't waste our time. Don't mess with this. So in that same almanac that he coined this phrase, as we now know it today, God helps those who help themselves, he also like this. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Plow deep while sluggards sleep. Like that one. A man may, if he knows not how to save as he gets, keep his nose to the grindstone. And my personal favorite, he that goes a-borrowing, a-sorrowing. For good and for bad, many historians believe that it was these values that Benjamin Franklin was pushing out that created kind of our American, unique American capitalistic work ethic that we still see today. Now, while I have some beef with the Puritans, I have some beef with kind of how we approach our work ethic at times, this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, I do agree on this one point that the Puritans push and this statement pushes. God has given each of us gifts and talents that should not be wasted, but rather used to bring glory to God. Ephesians tells us that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So no matter if your calling is to be a plumber, a painter, a bank teller, a retail worker, a stay-at-home mom, an engineer, a teacher, use your talents to glorify God. Don't waste them. Put them to work. Allow those gifts to be used to God's glory. Because God has given gracefully to you, don't waste them. So we don't sit idly back waiting for God to work for us. We bring together our various talents, our energy, our time to bring about change in the world with the understanding that God works through us, God's people. As Adam Hamilton says, we are instruments God uses to change the world. And Benjamin Franklin emphasized this, waste neither time or money, but make use, best use of both. And I would add our God-given talents to that list as well. Now, as a church family, we should be seeking out ways to help others put their talents to work to the glory of God. Ann was talking about this church in Sunday school in Indianapolis that hired a community worker, who connector person, who basically worked with the community, made connections with the people they were serving, with their neighbors, and found ways to tap those people's talents into what the church was already doing. For an example, one person who was at the food pantry, they asked her, what do you do? And they said, well, I'm a cook. I cook. That's what I do. And I can't find work. So they said, well, how about you come and cook for a staff meeting? And they cooked for a staff meeting and went well. And they kept using this person over until this person had built up a resume, and until this person now had good experience, and they were then able to recommend them out to others. As a church, we should be seeking others' gifts and helping others get connected so they can use those gifts, so that they can glorify God and what they can do. I tell our leaders this all the time. Keep your ears open, your eyes open, because because people may have something that they need to offer that they're not able to do right now, but we can help them share that gift. Especially for people that society has written off or abandoned or ignored. Unfortunately, this has not always been the case. For centuries, phrases like "God helps those who help themselves" to avoid Christ's command to help people. This phrase has allowed many Christians to skirt their ethical obligation from Scripture to serve those who cannot always help themselves, the poor, the addicted, the disabled. Now, we must reject this understanding of this phrase. Scripture is clear: love your neighbor, show compassion and mercy to those in need and those who are suffering. Do it to glorify God out of your obligation to your neighbor and for your community. I think most people struggle. The debate happens when we get into this idea of the best ways to help people and not hurt them. The best ways to create independence instead of more dependence. I think we worry about freeloaders. We worry about those who are abusing the system instead of contributing to society. But here's the deal. We often judge without truly knowing the people we judge. We slap labels on people who are unwilling to form a relationship with those people. All of the studies on this topic tell us that moving from dependence to independence only happens when a person has a real support system, like we talked about earlier with that church. A system of love and grace, a system that seeks out the best for that person, a system that seeks out to lift that person up out of the situation that they're in. How tapped in are we to the needs of those living in poverty? Have we judged before we have listened? God calls us to reach out to our neighbors in love, including those we have already judged. Hearing these stories and struggles is God's way of speaking to us in real and clear ways. And through it, we may discover ways that we can help others who are also struggling instead of creating more dependence. Now, as Presbyterians, we affirm that God helps us before we are able to help ourselves. This is what we call grace. It is unearned, it is undeserved, and yet it is offered. This is why we baptize babies, as I was telling the kids, because we're affirming that God gives you grace before you're ever even able to ask for it or even respond to it. As broken people, we cannot always will ourselves out of sin, out of the messes we create. I think every one of you in here probably has a story in your life. You aren't going to be able to pick yourself back up. You weren't going to be able to get out of the mess that you had created or that something had happened to you. But God had provided people to help you get through that. That God gave you the grace you needed to survive that mess. Truly, there are times that we cannot help ourselves, and God helps us get through it. That is how we understand grace and love as Presbyterians. And as broken people, we understand that we are dependent upon God. And the more you start to look at life and the older I get, the more I start to realize how dependent upon God I am. The story that I read from Luke today is a story that Jesus meets this young rich ruler. And he talks to Jesus about how can I get salvation? How can I be saved here? And Jesus gives him the Ten Commandments, gives him that nice list of things that I read to you earlier. And he says, oh, great, I've done all those things. I should be good, right? And he goes, no, you're not good. You need to sell everything you have, and then you need to come and follow. Now, what Jesus is telling this guy is that he needs to become completely dependent upon God. He needs to learn that he can no longer depend upon himself. And Jesus asks him and us to recognize our complete dependence upon God. The end of that story is that the young rich ruler walks away sad. And there's two ways to interpret that story. One, sad because he's going to go out and sell everything he has and he knows that's going to be really tough. Or two, he realizes he can't become fully dependent upon God. He's not willing to give it up to follow Christ. You cannot yourself help yourself to salvation. You cannot always help yourself out of bad situations. Yet as Adam Hamilton says, God is the God of the helpless cause, hopeless cause, the God who loves sinners, the God who walks with us through the darkest valleys. So I ask you all today to remember your dependence upon God. Remember the times in which you were not able to help yourself, but God was able to provide to lift you up out of it. And remember that as we act with our neighbors in our community, that what God has done for us, we are called to do for others. Not to create dependence, but to create an opportunity for others to share their gifts, so that they may too bless God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.